looking at expanding to get to an 11th member. That way you could play a true round-robin 20-game league schedule because most of the big basketball leagues are going to 20-game league schedules.
Okay.
The reason is because it produces more inventory for your league.
Yep.
And it produces more money for your league. So she says, look, yes, we would be interested in going to 11 teams. We could play 20-game league schedules. True round-robin, that's the best way to do it. And so the question then becomes, who would they add? And a lot of people, and this is how it relates back to Memphis, have said that it should be UConn. And if it's UConn, that's obviously bad for Memphis because you don't want to lose the UConn men's basketball program from your league.
Right.
But the only way the Big East would take UConn is if the UConn gave up football. Gave up Division One football. And UConn's just not going to give up Division One football because it is a money maker. There is only so much money you can make as an athletic department without football, without Division One football. And so UConn may never be good again, but the possibility of being good is the possibility of being wealthy, making a lot of money, and they're just not going to give up on that.
Yep.
So take UConn and eliminate them. I think the pick is should be St. Louis.
That was a good one.
And I made the case on the podcast earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Top 25 television market.
Yep.
It's already in the geographic footprint of the Big East, considering that the Big East has Butler.
It's a perfect model with what they do.
The Big East has Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Catholic private, it's a private Catholic school.
Good facilities.
Just a beautiful on-campus facility.
Really nice stuff.
And it's a private Catholic school, just like the majority of Big East schools.
Yeah.
So I won't be surprised whether it's a year or two or maybe 6 months if St. Louis ultimately becomes a member of the Big East.
Story number four.
Say goodbye to Memphis running back Darrell Henderson. He announced today that he is entering the NFL draft, foregoing his final year of college eligibility, and that he will not play in the Birmingham Bowl. All of it is sensible. I know that there might be somebody out there who thinks that the young man should be committed to his team and go play in the bowl game with his teammates, but I know Mike Norvell's not that guy. I'm not that guy. And it would actually be reckless for Darrell Henderson to go play in what is mostly a meaningless bowl game. He could do it if he wanted to. I wouldn't judge him. But if you're asking for what's the smart thing to do, what he's doing is the smart thing to do. Where he'll be picked in the NFL draft, can't say for sure. But for whatever it's worth, Mel Kiper Jr. has him as the third-rated running back that'll be in this 2019 NFL draft. Jeff Calkins up next.
Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. Your home of the Eric Hasseltine Show. Weekdays from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m.
Bring it up. Put three on the board.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis.
This is what people are saying about James Gaddis Jewelers.
We love James Gaddis Jewelers. Everyone there is so friendly. My husband designed my engagement ring there, and we got his wedding ring there, too, because we like the people that work there so much. They treat us like we're the most important customers in the store. James Gaddis is our jeweler.
I purchased my wife's engagement ring and wedding ring at James Gaddis Jewelers and experienced nothing but really excellent service and value. They greeted me by name every time I went into the store and helped me find just the right ring I was looking for. She absolutely loves it, and I wouldn't go anywhere else but Gaddis Jewelers.
She'll never forget the year you gave her a gift from James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is James Gaddis. This year, let us be your holiday destination and see why we've been voted the best jewelry store. Come shop with us at 4900 Poplar at Mendenhall and continue the family tradition at James Gaddis Jewelers.
Want to bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Hello, Brett Clark here, operating partner at Fleming's Prime Steakhouse. There's always a new culinary experience at Fleming's Steakhouse in Memphis. In the mood for surf and turf? Join us every Monday for an enticing three-course menu that includes our buttery filet mignon and sweet cold water lobster starting at $55. Want an impressive dinner for two? Try Tomahawk Tuesday, a 35-ounce prime tomahawk ribeye with two salads, two side items, and two desserts for only $120. Visit FlemingsSteakhouse.com or call 901-761-6200 to make your reservation today.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Saturday inside FedEx Forum. It's an official sellout, but the Daily Memphian has got two tickets for you. All you got to do is go to dailymemphian.com/penny. That's dailymemphian.com/penny. Use your email address to sign up, and you could win two tickets to Saturday's game between the University of Memphis Tigers and the third-ranked Tennessee Vols. Win a Daily Memphian hoodie and a signed basketball from University of Memphis icon and current head coach Penny Hardaway. Doesn't cost a penny to enter. All you got to do is use your email address. That's at dailymemphian.com/penny. If you haven't subscribed to the Daily Memphian yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. It's only $7 a month, 23 cents a day. I am a subscriber. It's bookmarked, and I read it every single day. If you want to read Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, that's where you do it. If you want to hear read Jeff Calkins on the local sports scene, that's where you got to do it. DailyMemphian.com. That's DailyMemphian.com. Just $7 a month to subscribe. And if you go there right now, DailyMemphian.com/penny, you can sign up to win two tickets to Saturday's game between the Vols and the Tigers. Just got to use your email address. That's DailyMemphian.com/penny. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist. Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, and he joins me now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good. I've been told, by the way, that I'm going to be announced the winner of that penny package on my show tomorrow morning.
How about that?
So, get your bids in, because at some point we got to give the stuff away so people can plan their weekend. You know,
at some point you got to have people have to have
early
the ability.
Notice, yeah,
people have to have the ability to plan their weekend. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I'm good. How are you?
I'm mostly good. I got a busy weekend ahead of me. I got
who killed Steve McCarrick? Steve McCarrick.
I think it's that Adrian Gilliam guy.
That's what I think too.
I think it's the Adrian Gilliam guy. Did you hear that interview by chance, or the opening, or anything?
I did not. I was writing a column.
I understand. I don't listen to you either.
No,
I listen to you all the time. I feel bad sometimes because
I listen to people. I honestly listen to the show a lot.
You guys listen a lot.
I listen a lot because a lot of times I want to talk in this segment about what you were just talking about in the 444. But today I happen to be writing a column.
No,
so you can't put aside everything. Listen, I recommend people do put aside everything, listen to 92.9 all day, but I understand that they got to get some work done somewhere in there.
No, I always feel bad because when I get to the studio early, I'll be in my office back there, and I'm prepping. And I'm not the type who can, watch TV and prep. Like, every day when I get into the studio, the television is on. Eric and maybe everybody else too, they always have the television on here.
Brad, I can't have it on.
Brad, what's the first thing I do when I walk in here?
Turn it off.
I turn mine off too.
I need focus. I need to have the lights down and I have to look at you.
I don't like to be it's not
focus.
Even that I don't like to be distracted. It's just impossible for me to not be distracted if anything else is going on.
Oh, trust me.
So I'm not the guy who can write while watching TV or listening to radio or prepare while watching TV or listening to radio. So I'll be back in the office and Erica will walk back there and he'll go, hey, so did you just hear that? I'm like, I didn't.
No.
And I always feel bad. But it's,
oh, God.
I know, but it's not, I'm not listening because I don't want to.
Okay, you're prepping.
I'm focused on what I need to do for my
you
show.
You have a radio show.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, I have a question. What percentage of our listeners in radio are listening? Because this is true for me. If I'm in the car, I am, unless I happen to be having a conversation like with one of my kids, I'm 100% listening to 92.9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what percentage of our listeners listenership comes from people traveling around in their cars? Is it more than half?
Oh, God, yes. It's I would say it's 95%.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in that 70-plus range for the car.
It's 70-plus.
Yeah.
I guess so, because, I mean, people stream it at work.
I mean, you got the 20% that are probably at work, and then you've got another 10% that are
home. Well, I think Brad could actually do the math on it. I don't want to give the numbers out, but we know on a day.
I can go
We know at any moment how many people are listening
people
to the stream.
Right.
And it is such a small fraction of what we know because of the ratings of how many people are actually listening.
Exactly. Everybody's in their car. Yeah. No. And that's what I was not in the car. And so I did not listen.
No.
But that is true. Like, if I'm in the car, and then there are some times that I'm not in the car that I'll listen. Mm-hmm. But that's if there's a particular thing generally that I need so-and-so is going to be on GP today. Got to listen to that. And sometimes just to make my feel comfortable, I'll go get in the car and listen to it.
Well, what I'll do is if there is something I know I want to hear, like you've got a guest I want to hear, or Jason and John have a guest I want to hear, or Eric's got a guest I want to hear, or I know you're going to be talking about something, I want to hear what you have to say about it, because I might talk about the same thing later, then I will plan little things around that segment of time. So I'll say, okay, Grizzlies blew a lead last night in Denver. I know I want to hear what Jeff and Harrington say about this.
Right.
I will cook breakfast at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'll go downstairs, and then I'll make breakfast for myself at 10 o'clock. I can make breakfast and listen to the radio. I can't actually work and listen to the radio, so I'll make breakfast while I want to listen to that radio segment. But outside of that, yeah, I listen when I'm in the car. For instance, I heard just about your whole first hour yesterday. Why?
Yeah.
Because Louie's sick, and I took Oliver to school.
Yep.
So I heard everything. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the way most people
are. It is an interesting deal, because there are people who say that, at some point in time, everyone's just going to be listening to the podcast in their car. Right? Kids these days, they don't listen to the radio. The radio is incredibly convenient. It's right there. It's in my dashboard. I turn it on literally all the time. Long drives, I actually sometimes will do that. I'll listen to podcasts. Like, I'm driving to Buffalo or Michigan or somewhere, but otherwise I'll do the radio. Like, they put it right there for you.
I do think that we will get to a point someday when it is so convenient. Well, first off, we'll get to a point someday where the people driving around, the 30-year-olds and the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds and the 60-year-olds, they've all grown up with smartphones. We do not live in a world where everybody grew up with a smartphone. And so, you know, they didn't even exist until I was an adult. So you have this entire generation of people, like my parents' generation, who, like, I don't know what percentage of people 60 and up, 50 and up, could actually go find the podcast that I tell them to go find. If I say, go listen to Fall of a Titan, the Steve McNair podcast by Tim Rowan,
about 5% of America do that. 60 and older.
How many people could actually stream it through their car radio? I could, but could my dad? I don't know. I mean, I do know. There's no chance he could. And so I think that's still the world that we live in. So when people
for the record, I couldn't do that. I could listen to podcasts on my phone, but I get it. Like, the Bluetooth thing going really very well.
If I told you to Bluetooth,
I'm 57.
Do you know how to use a Bluetooth? Period. Do you know how to use a Bluetooth?
Well, yeah, I don't really know what it means. I now do use the my hotspot from my phone. I figured out how to do that now. With connecting my computer.
The hotspot on your phone is invaluable. How about this? So I'm sitting with Matt Norlander, my colleague, CBS Sports, a few weeks ago. Yeah. Somewhere. We were somewhere. And he was like, the internet's down. We were somewhere working together in a public place. And he was like, hey, this public place's internet is down. Are you still on the internet? I said, yeah. And he said, how are you on the internet? I said, I'm just using my hotspot. He's like, well, what do you mean your hotspot? You have a hotspot on your phone? I was like, yeah, you just turn it on.
Yeah.
You connect to your phone, and then you've got internet service. You got Wi-Fi through your phone. And he was like, do you think I have that? I was like, hand me your I said, hand me your phone. And sure enough, he's got it. He had
never activated it?
He had spent years.
How old is he?
He's like,
he's young.
Young 30s. It shocked me because he is actually sophisticated. He's like smartphone sophisticated. He had been covering that federal trial in New York City. And every day he would run out of the courthouse and then, like, try
to go to a star.
Oh, my God.
I was like, dude, you could have just connected your computer to your phone this whole time. It, like, blew his mind. And it actually blew my mind that he wasn't aware of that. But the point is, we don't live in a world where people, where everybody is smart, is smartphone savvy. Furthermore, we don't live in a city where everybody is smartphone savvy. And so,
I think you've just come on it there on that last point.
Like maybe in Seattle.
Gary's last point is the most important one.
It's just very easy to see. When people say podcasts are the future, streaming things through your phone is the future, they are correct. But it is the future. Don't confuse it with the present.
Right.
Right. That's true.
And the city you mentioned our city. That's also important. You know, but people listen to broadcast radio in Memphis at a very high rate. That's why we win that cash contest. We have so many local winners for that very reason.
Yeah, people. It is still very easy for people to get in their car and, like, turn on a radio. Everybody alive has grown up with a radio in their car. Not everybody alive has grown up, entire life, had a smartphone that they could stream through their phone. And so whereas I'm actually the exception to what I'm describing here, every night when I drive home, every night when I get off the air, I listen to some podcast. I listen to something. I stream it through my car. But most people don't, and that's still true today.
Yeah. I don't know how we got here, but who killed Steve McDaniel?
Yeah, his name's Adrian Gilliam, I believe. It's Adrian Gilliam. So you don't know anything about this guy? It really is fascinating because, listen, you covered Steve McNair. I imagine you were at the Super Bowl.
I actually, at one point, I went to Steve McNair's mother's. I covered him twice. I covered him in Fort Lauderdale for some reason when we used to have incredible amounts of money and we just would cover anything. Like, that's what the newspaper used to be. And Steve McNair was having this huge year at Alcorn. I went up and did a feature story on Steve McNair. So I covered him once then. And then I covered him when he was with the Titans. And the year that he was injured in the playoffs one year, and there was a question of whether he would play. And I went to his mother's house in Mississippi and just hung out in her kitchen for an hour and talked to her about just kind of how tough she was and how tough she lived. I think this is true. The piece of land that she owned in Mississippi was a piece of land where her parents or grandparents had been slaves.
Correct.
Had worked as slaves. I think I remember putting that in the column. And so it was just about how tough Steve was and how tough she was, and she was charming. It was delightful. And once he got to the NFL, he was a little harder to reach. You know, you just do what quarterbacks do. They just do podiums, right, at this point. But I covered him quite a lot.
So the mother actually plays a prominent role in this podcast. Steve McNair, and this is a thing that they point out in the podcast. I don't know how it's a big deal for the family. He didn't have a will when he died. So he was married, but the marriage was not a real marriage. Like, to the point where, and I learned all this in the podcast, when you first hear Steve McNair is dead, it's a murder-suicide with a 20-year-old mistress, you go, okay, he was running around on his wife and got mixed up with this little girl and she flipped out and now he's dead. He was technically, yes, running around on his wife, but it wasn't a secret. They weren't functioning as a married couple anymore. Like, Michelle McNair, his wife, was aware of who Jenny Kissamme was. So it wasn't like he was hiding anything from anybody. He was out publicly with her. It wasn't hidden from her friends. It wasn't hidden from the public. He would be out at dinner with Jenny Kissamme. So anyway, when he's dead, even though he was not in a real normal relationship with the wife anymore, she was still his wife. There is no will, so everything defaults to her. She controls all the money. She controls all of the real estate, including that house that you referenced that you went to, owned by the mother. Except it wasn't technically owned by the mother. It was never in the mom's name. It was in Steve McNair's name. So now guess who controls it? The wife.
Yeah, the wife, the ex-wife, the formal wife, right? But it was not really a wife.
And she sold it.
Out from under the mother?
Out from under the mother. Isn't that incredible?
That's brutal.
Brutal. Like Steve, like the
what?
It is the thing that Steve's friends are most. I mean, I guess they're most bothered by.
That is so brutal.
He, Steve McNair.
He earned the damn money, bought a house for his mother, and the basically ex-wife sold the house out from under the mother.
Right. And it's like it's not even in debate. Like Steve McNair bought that piece of land intentionally, that piece of land, for his mother because of what it meant to their family.
For the family, yeah.
Like, you know, his parents, his grandparents, great grandparents were sharecroppers on that land, and now he built a mansion for his mother on this same piece of land. Like, what that was symbolic of was real meaningful stuff, particularly in the state of Mississippi. So it's like he bought that land for his mom for a very specific reason, built this amazing house, you saw it with your own eyes, for a very specific reason, but it was never in his mom's name. It was always in Steve's name. So when he dies, it goes to the wife. And the argument for people trying to defend the wife is that everything then goes into court, the courts. And what the lawyers advise you to do is get rid of all assets. And because you're now, because the money is going to be split. Let's say Steve had four kids. I think he did. It'll be split five ways between the wife and the four kids evenly. And so what the wife would tell you is, I wasn't trying to take the mom's house away, but I have to look out for my children. And that is their, it's their house now. And the only way that they'll ever get the money to live for the rest of their lives is if we sell that house. That's how we had to do it. And so some people are like, okay, but then like other people are like, yo, it doesn't matter. You don't take Steve. You don't take.
That's his mother. Yes, his mother. Let the kids can make their own. Right. Can earn their own way in the world. That's ridiculous.
That's the argument. You don't take Mama McNair's house away. I mean, it's just.
No, if he had a condo in Fort Lauderdale, right. You could sell that. You don't split it up between the kids.
You don't sell his mom's house. And so now, how about this? So they sold the house, and now Mama McNair lives in a much smaller, a more humble home, but within eyesight of her former home.
Ugh.
Every morning when she walks up the door,
that's brutal.
She sees the big, beautiful home she used to live in. It really is just like,
gosh.
I know.
This whole thing is interesting.
Well, like, that's
the
way
did the ex-wife have anything to do with this?
Well, this is the point Tim Rowan makes, okay, the podcast host. He says, the wife was clearly not on good terms with Steve McNair. He wanted a divorce. She had never been willing to give him a divorce. So, by definition, the person who benefited most from Steve McNair's death...
The wife.
...is the wife who he was not on good terms with. And then there's a friend who of Steve McNair's who says on the night of McNair's funeral, he's just trying to get away and he pops into a bar. Like with the dance floor and everything?
Yeah.
And the wife and her friends are like partying, like celebrating.
Oh, no.
And he says, and who knows if it's true, but he says he overheard her say, now we got all the money.
Ugh.
And so the point Tim Rowan makes is like, it is sort of investigating 101 that when somebody ends up dead, murdered, you look at their spouse, especially if the spouse is not on good terms with the partner, with the husband or the wife, and especially if the spouse is the person who benefits most by the death, and police never even for a second talked to her. They just ruled it a murder suicide in 4 days. And here's
seems
the other,
like that seems like malpractice. That seems like police malpractice.
Well, that's the thing, and I think Tim Rowan and I are on the same page here. It might actually be a murder suicide, but there is no
murder suicide. Is the 20-year-old?
Is the 20-year-old shot him?
And why did she shoot him?
Well, here's the thing. The police's public story is that, you know, and this is true, by the way, she was Steve McNair's mistress, perhaps his main mistress, but he had others. And that she was jealous of the others, mad at him about the others. She was having financial problems. And so she spiraled and waited for him to fall asleep. And she shoots him four times, twice in the head, twice in the chest. Here's the problem with that story. Police also have access to all of their text messages. There's no fight. Like, the last text messages between them are like, I love you, baby, and I love you. There's no big fight anywhere. Okay? Beyond that, like, police are like, she planned this. There's evidence, according to statements from her friends, she was actually supposed to go out with another friend on that night. She wasn't even supposed to be in Nashville on that night. She was going to leave Nashville, I think, come to Memphis and go out with somebody. And the friend canceled on her at the last minute. So she told the friend, well, I guess I'll see what Steve's up to tonight. So the police's story is she planned this murder, suicide, where in reality she had plans to be in another city. She wouldn't even, it was like a last minute thing that she showed up at Steve McNair's house. They also say she had financial trouble. She had like $5,000 in her checking account, which might not sound like a lot to some people, but it's an incredible amount of money for a 20-year-old waitress. So she didn't really have financial problems, and there's no evidence that they were actually fighting in any real way. It's just like even their motives that they assigned to her don't actually make sense. And beyond all that, and I talked about this in the opening segment, the story that the police tell is that she bought a gun from this car salesman, a guy named Adrian Gilliam. And that's the gun that she used to shoot Steve McNair and then shoot herself. They trace the gun back. The way they find out that she allegedly bought the gun from this guy is that they trace the gun back to him. So then they go talk to him. And he says, I sold the gun to a little girl, a young woman. Who was it? I don't even know her name. They show him pictures. She goes, yeah, I mean, that looks like her, but I don't even know her name. Okay, so the police then take it from there. When they pull his phone records, his story is, she came to me about buying a car. I ended up selling her a gun. I met her one time. That's it. Phone records show that they talked on the phone more than 200 times in the 3 weeks leading up to Steve McNair's murder, and 49 different times the day before Steve McNair's murder. Also, the only person who ever says that the gun was sold to Jenny Kazemi is this guy, Adrian Gilliam. And they say, okay, well, where did it happen? He says, at Dave and Buster's. She worked at Dave and Buster's. I sold it to her in the parking lot. She put it in her little apron and went back inside Dave and Buster's. That's the last I ever seen of her. That's the last I ever talked to her. Well, that was obviously a lie, because it's clearly he was talking to her up until the day Steve McNair died. They pull surveillance from Dave and Buster's parking lot. Never shows. There's nothing there of him in the parking lot, of her in the parking lot.
So what is this? What does that mean, though? Like, so why does that implicate? He is then mixed up with her, not with the ex-wife.
No, he's mixed up with Jenny Kazemi. He said he barely knew her. He met her one time, sold her a gun, didn't even know her name. In reality, he had known her for several weeks.
But how does the fact that he was lying about that.
Right.
But how does that then implicate the ex-wife?
Oh, no, this has nothing to do with the ex-wife.
Yeah, unrelated.
Yeah, all of this, like the point, and I think this is really the point of the podcast, is that the ex-wife's got some sketchy stuff over here. Why wasn't she looked at? This Adrian Gilliam guy's got some sketchy stuff over here. Why wasn't he looked at? There was a friend of Steve McNair's who had just stolen $13,000 from him, and Steve had cut him out of everything. Why wasn't that guy looked at? When Steve McNair's friend who discovered the body discovered it at this time, they didn't call police till 44 minutes later. Why was that not more seriously looked at? How do you wrap this case up in 4 days when there's all this stuff going on? But back to the guy, Adrian Gilliam. Check this out. Mm-hmm. So police start looking into him. And they say, okay, you're saying you sold this gun to this girl. He says, yes. Where did it happen? Parking lot, Dave and Buster's. They go pull surveillance. They look at the day he said it happened, the day before, 3 days after. They span the whole day. There is nothing on the surveillance that shows him and Jenny Kazemi in the parking lot at Dave and Buster's. His story is that she put this gun in the pocket of an apron like that she wears when she's waiting tables at Dave and Buster's. So Tim Rowan goes to Dave and Buster's, gets one of the aprons, puts a gun in it, and it's just bulging out. Like, it's impossible to hide. Everybody who worked at Dave and Buster's at the time says, we never saw no gun, nothing like that. She never talked about a gun, nothing. So, like, none of this makes sense. Then they say, okay, they ask this guy, where were you on the night Steve McNair was killed? He says, I was at my friend's house. You can ask I was at my friend's house. He was drinking whiskey. He asked me to go get him a Coke to mix with the whiskey. I went and got him a Coke. We hung out at his house all night long. Police go to his friend's house. He says, listen, that is my friend, but I'm not going to lie for him. He was not here that night. So and by the way, this guy, Adrian Gilliam, he's a convicted murderer. Okay? So you got a convicted murderer,
Unbelievable.
Who is the owner of the gun that is the murder weapon. He was trying to date Jenny Kazami, but she was actually dating Steve McNair. And then Steve McNair and Jenny Kazami both end up dead. The guy's alibi makes no sense. In fact, it's refuted. The guy's story about his relationship with Jenny Kazami and, you know, it doesn't check out. It's not true. It's a lie. And his story about I sold the gun to her in this parking lot. Surveillance doesn't show that at all. And they don't even consider him a suspect. Like, it really is bananas.
That is totally bananas.
I mean, that is my conclusion. It might really be a murder-suicide, exactly as Nashville Police Department says, but the idea that they wrapped it up in 4 days and didn't make the ex-wife a person of interest, never made Adrian Gilliam a person of interest, never made the dude that stole $13,000 from Steve McNair and then got cut out of every business by Steve McNair. Like the guy steals $13,000 from Steve McNair, forging checks. Steve McNair catches him. Steve McNair tells him, you're done. You violated my trust. You got nothing to do with me anymore. Keep in mind, this is a guy who was always on Steve McNair's payroll. His job was basically to be Steve McNair's bodyguard. Now that job's gone. Weeks later, just a couple weeks later, Steve McNair's dead. They don't even make that guy a suspect or a person of interest. That's it. Like, maybe Jenny Kazami really did this, but there is no way you should be able to wrap that case up in 4 days without ever making any of the people I just described a person of interest. And
no, it's insanity.
It's insane. And yet, you know, I think most of America, even most Tennesseans, even most Steve McNair fans for the past 9 years, you just assume that, you know, it was a murder-suicide. I mean, the details of the story never really got examined until this podcast. It was just sort of bullet point stuff. Steve McNair was an awesome quarterback. Steve McNair retired from the NFL. Steve McNair was running around on his wife with a young girl. Steve McNair's young girl got jealous. She shot him. Bang, 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 bang. Shot herself. Murder, suicide. Except there's so much more there. And that's why I found the podcast to be completely fascinating, because it really does paint a picture of, at the very least, a piss-poor investigation by the Nashville Police Department.
So well, what do you expect?
Yeah, so any of you Memphians that hate Nashville, this is the one you can actually use against them.
Yeah, ridiculously.
Well, they don't have a lot of murders, so they're not used to it.
Terrible police. They have just the worst police.
They have a terrible police department. The other thing, she shot, Steve McNair was shot 4 times. Left temple, right temple, and then what people who understand executions call a double tap. Like, this is the way you execute somebody. Twice in the head, twice in the chest. And the consensus among people who understand this type of stuff, they're like, there's no evidence that Jenny Kazami ever owned a gun, ever shot a gun. And now she's just going to do an execution-style murder on Steve McNair? Maybe. But it does. That's not, you know, because he interviews people who specialize in murder-suicides. And this just ain't usually the way they go down. You know, it's not usually an execution-style murder and then turn the gun on yourself. It's just not usually done this way. And yet the police subscribed to this theory very, very quickly and never really considered anything else. It's worth your time. It's worth your time if you're interested in this kind of stuff at all.
I just looked at some murder stats. There's plenty of murders in Nashville, just so you know. There's like, as of last year, by August, there was 250. So, and it's the 25th most dangerous. Now, you listen, we're better than they are at this.
Yeah.
At being dangerous.
Yeah, we are.
We're top five, but they're a top 25 program in terms of danger. So they should be able to do better than this in Nashville.
You would think so.
You would think. You know?
I will be surprised if it isn't reinvestigated at some point. Like, if you know, and no police department wants to acknowledge, I don't guess, that maybe they reached a conclusion without thoroughly looking at every other angle. But the evidence presented in this podcast is pretty compelling that, at the very least, the case was wrapped up a little too neatly. There was a lot of other stuff. Like, just little other things that don't make any sense. Like, McNair had been out that night on the town. You know, bars popping around. He was by all accounts, a heavy drinker, and he was, like, he spent most nights out. He carried around, every one of his friends says that he carried around hundreds of dollars at a time. Like, there was never a moment. Like, he would, they say he would never have, like, $5. He would have, like, $500 or more likely $1,500. Like, there was never a time where Steve McNair didn't have thousands of dollars in his pocket. And his body was found. He had, like, $7 in his pocket. And his friends are like, somebody robbed him. He wouldn't have been out. He was still in the clothes that he wore out. And there was only a handful of dollar bills in his pocket. His friends say, so that means somebody robbed him because he would have never been out and had just a few dollars in his pocket. Well, obviously, you don't get robbed during a murder-suicide. The friends also say there was a safe in the apartment that's just not there after the murder happens. You know, like, but the police counter that by saying, we don't know that there was ever a safe. But the friends are like, yo, we had keys to the place. We lived there. There was a safe there. It's not there anymore. What happened to the safe? Just these little things that it just makes you go, woo. Like, maybe this isn't as simple of a case as the Nashville Police Department made it out to be.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. I wish I'd been driving around.
Well, trust me, we've spent 30 minutes on it at this point.
You've caught me up.
Yeah, you're all caught up. All you need to do now is listen to episode 9, mm-hmm. which will come out next Wednesday.
I gotta go catch up on Eric.
One last thing before I let you go. Darrell Henderson announced today he's entering the NFL draft. He will not play in the Birmingham Bowl. I think both of those things are understandable. You follow the NFL draft and draft prospects more closely than I do because you're a fan of an NFL team, where I'm not. Do you have a sense for where Darrell Henderson might be picked?
Not as high as you think. Yeah. And partly that's because he's a running back, and running backs are devalued now. I mean, you get the occasional, you know, we saw that this year, obviously, with Saquon Barkley. I don't think there's, you know, any chance he goes in the first round. I bet he goes third, fourth round, something like that. He's also 5'8". Right. Now he can go to the. He's stocky, so it's not like he's a little guy in 5'8", but he's 5'8", and he's a running back. And well, yeah, what do you see? I mean, these running backs drop precipitously. You can just look at who's. In the NFL, there's this idea that you can get a running back anywhere. And so, Anthony Miller goes in the second round, and receivers are more coveted than running backs. I think my sense is that best he would be a third-round pick. But some of this is like, what does he do at the combine? Does he run a 4.31 at the combine or something? You know, like, maybe that'll change. But I don't think he's leaving because he got – I mean, it is true that – they put in the request to the NFL for some assessment of where he'll be drafted, right? It almost doesn't matter if you're Darrell Henderson what you got back. Let's say you got back something that said you're going to go in the fifth round. Let's just say that's what it said. Because these things tend to be conservative. The things that you get from the NFL tend to underplay where you're going to go. They don't want to overpromise, right? And so let's just say he got in the fifth round. Well, you'd say, well, gosh, if that was Paxton Lynch, you'd say, well, I should go back for another year because I can improve my stock, right? And Darrell Henderson can't improve his stock.
Nothing he can do.
There's literally nothing he can do. He will always be a running back. He'll always be 5'8", and he ran for nearly 2,000 yards this year. Like, literally, there is nothing he could do to be better. And so all he could do is injure himself and take more carries and take a bigger beating and whatever else. So there's nothing he can – he's actually more valuable this year than next year because they would have had fewer carries, right? I mean, he would hurt his stock because people might say, my gosh, he took a beating with more carries. So it almost doesn't matter. Like, if that thing said he was going in the seventh round, he should still go because he can't do better than he did this year, and all he can do is injure himself. And so I think third or fourth round is where likely he'll be. And that doesn't mean, like, he could be the best running back in the NFL and still be a third or fourth round pick. You know, I mean, we see it all the time. You know, look at New Orleans right now. Look at, like, all around the league. There are running backs who are, in Kamara. There are lots of running backs who've been picked low who are incredibly successful. And, you know, you hope that's the path he follows because then ultimately you cash in with your second paycheck. But I don't think he's going to make a vast fortune on his first paycheck. But I also don't begrudge him in the slightest, not –
the fact that he's not going to be playing a bowl game.
That is Jeff Calkins. He'll be back in studio tomorrow, 9 a.m. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. I had somebody ask on Twitter, what's the name of the Steve McNair podcast? It's called Fall of a Titan. So just go into Apple Podcast or wherever you find podcast. It's called Fall of a Titan. You can type that in, or Steve McNair, or Tim Rowan, who is the author, and it'll pop right up. Again, it's a 9-part series, and a new episode has been released each Wednesday for the past 8 weeks. Today was episode 8. Next week will be the last final episode, episode 9. And I do think, as long as I'm being honest with you, it takes a couple of episodes to get going, because it starts with this former police officer named Vince Hill, who is just kind of throwing out some wild conspiracies, some wild rumors. One that he throws out is that he heard, and this is like an actual rumor that was going around Nashville, but it seems to be not true. But one of the rumors was that Steve McNair was castrated, and that when police found him, he had his privates in his mouth. There's no evidence that that's true, but that type of thing is mentioned in the first episode. So you start going, all right, what are we doing here?
Why are we talking about this?
Yeah. So I was a little like, all right, like, I don't need to hear all these wild rumors. Like, give me some compelling evidence. And we get there pretty quickly. I would say by episode 3 or 4, it has presented some real evidence that makes you wonder, did this really go down the way police said it really went down? And like I've said, it might have.
Fascinating.
It might have. But the one thing I think anybody who listens to the podcast will be able to agree on is that given all the characters involved and all of the possible motives and everything we know about everybody involved and everything we know about that night and the circumstances leading up to that night, there is no way they should have wrapped that case up in a matter of 4 days without seriously considering the possibility that somebody killed Steve McNair and Jenny Kissamy, as opposed to Jenny Kissamy killed Steve McNair and then herself. It might have went down the way they said it went down, but there's enough questions there and enough weird stuff that it's not nearly as clear-cut as the Nashville Police Department made it out to be. Be back in a second.
Do you need gifts for friends and family located all over this country? You can ship them prime steaks from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop overnight. And if you need to show a client or a colleague how much you appreciate them, give them a gift certificate that can be used for dinner at Folks Folly, Memphis's original prime steakhouse, or give them any of the delicious Folks Folly menu items that you can get fresh from Humphrey's. Are you noticing a theme here? Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop can set you up with everything you need to make the holidays amazing and, most importantly, amazingly easy. They've got fresh prime steak in all of the most flavorful cuts, rack of lamb, ribeye roast, lobster tail, and all your favorite side dishes like garlic mashed potatoes and spinach casserole. Dessert is covered with Humphrey's traditional southern pecan pie and Folks Folly's famous brownies, and then they have steak knives and aprons to really make a special gift. So be an original and treat yourself and your loved ones to a holiday you'll all truly enjoy. Stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall, right next to Folks Folly, or order online at humphreysmemphis.com.
Anyone can deliver a box, but Kroger makes it easy with store pickup and now shipping right to your door. So check out while you're chilling with the app or at Kroger.com.
As you might know, my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health a couple of years ago, and I can't recommend them enough after that experience. They took incredible care of our baby boy, Lou, took incredible care of our family in general. But I've told you before, and it's worth remembering, you don't have to experience an emergency situation to get great care from Regional One Health. That's why we're at Regional One, but it's not why you have to be at Regional One. And the East Campus is great evidence of that. It's where Dr. Khanna works. She's a gynecologist who just recently started seeing patients over on Regional One's East Campus. She treats women for many things, among them the effects of premenopausal hormone changes. She's a certified menopause practitioner. That's by the North American Menopause Society. And if you need to see her, then you need to see her. And you don't even need a referral to make an appointment. All you have to do is call and make an appointment. 901-515-3100. That's the number, 901-515-3100. And if you're unfamiliar with where the East Campus is located, very easy. 6555 Quince Road. That's 6555 Quince Road, right at the Kirby exit, 385. So it's easy to find, and it's easy to get to, and you can learn more on the web at regionalonehealth.org.
offline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet, hooray for holiday games. Very small and bright, a scratchable delight. What fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight. Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games. Oh, what fun they are to play throughout the holidays.
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not gonna like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery Holiday Instant Games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
The new fall goods are in at Suits U, so hurry in for the absolute best prices on suits from Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Mossy Man, Steve Land, Stacey Adams, and many more. Suits U has gorgeous sweaters and corduroy pants starting at $29.99, just in time for the cooler weather. Dress shoes from Stacey Adams, Giovanni, and Belvedere. 100% cotton dress shirts from $29.99. Four Memphis locations, 4835 American Way, 6297 Winchester, 1223 Shelby Drive, 4835 Austin Peay. Mention this ad and get a free gift. At Suits U, we really suit you.
If you are a business looking to streamline your printing process and save a ton of money at the same time, call Michael and his team at Cartridge World Memphis. They will set a time for a complimentary evaluation, answer any questions you may have, and save you money. That means you don't have to reduce staff this year and may just help pay for a relaxing vacation. All their ink and toner are guaranteed 100%. Come by 4714 Poplar Avenue in the Knickerbocker Shopping Plaza down from FedEx or call 901-767-4065. That's 767-4065.
The magic of the season shines brightest during holiday wonders at the garden at Memphis Botanic Garden. Sparkling trees, snowy nights of family fun, the City of Memphis Christmas tree, and the new True Green Outdoor Lounge. Get discount advance tickets today at Ticketmaster.com. Brought to you by Pro Show Systems.
Hey, it's Jason and John here. And listen, make sure this Friday you come out and join us. We'll be out at Robert Irwin Jewelers, 376 Perkins Extended.
We're going to be out there doing a live show. You can come out and see the altar created diamonds. They're bigger and they're brighter and they're less expensive than the earth mine diamonds.
Come out and see us and Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers, 376 Perkins Extended.
Some nights are truly enchanted, especially during holiday wonders at the garden at Memphis Botanic Garden. Bring the family to ooh and awe at the area's most interesting and unique holiday light show. Close to home, easy parking, and unlimited fresh air. Get discount tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Brought to you by Pro Show Systems.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Systems over the Mount Moriah Office Park. If you need a new computer, refurbished computer, custom-built computer, that's where you need to go. They'll take care of you. The phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. The way it's going to work, the way it should work, you get in touch with Lee or Lauren Cooper, and you tell them what it is you need a computer for. In other words, you need a gaming computer? Because you might really need to spend some money on that. But if you're just messing around Facebook, YouTube, doing what most people do with a computer, surf the web, you don't need to go spend $1,000 on a computer. It's a waste of money. You're paying for a bunch of stuff you'll never use, paying for a bunch of stuff you don't even know what it does. At Cooper Systems, they can get you a machine that will do everything you want it to do and nothing else. That means if you're just going to surf the web, maybe spend a couple $100. You know, you can get a MacBook Air for as low as $599 at Cooper Systems. You can find one at that price somewhere else. You should just go there. But I bet you can't, so go to Cooper Systems. 360-9679, 360-9679. New computers, refurbished computers, custom-built computers, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, whatever it is you need, or you need for your children, or you need for your spouse, they either got it, or they can get it for you, or they can build it for you. That's at Cooper Systems, 360-9679, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com. If you missed it, a couple of injury updates from the Memphis Grizzlies earlier today. They announced that Dylan Brooks remains on schedule to recover from a grade 2 MCL sprain that he suffered back on November 10th, so a little more than a month ago. He's expected to return by the end of this month. And Chandler Parsons, they say, continues to progress in his recovery from right knee soreness, but they're not even going to update his status again for approximately 2 weeks, which means the odds of Chandler Parsons playing at any point over the next 2 weeks seems highly unlikely. Grizz in action tonight. Blazers the opponent. Tip off a little after 7. Mike Conley officially listed as questionable with left hamstring soreness, but the Grizz are still a 3-point favorite. The Blazers on a second night of a back-to-back. We'll talk a little bit about that during dinner to go.
Main Event is going to wow you because $7 per activity play all day is here. $7 bowling, billiards, laser tag, and more. Any activity all day, just $7. Wow. Only at Main Event.
So there was a guy named Charles, had a home out in Cordova, right? He wanted to sell it, so he listed it with Josh Hysall, just like I've been telling you to do for years. They agreed on a price. Josh went to work, got 51 showings the first day, 17 offers. That home sold for more than the asking price. How did Josh do it? He did it with his 45-day guarantee plan. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first tip has Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on it? Then he goes to work. And if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. It's totally up to you. And this is a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh does not obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, even if your opinion is nonsense, you can fire him, no questions asked. You can even do it by text message. He's outselling the average agent, Josh Hysall is, in the Memphis market by a 34-to-1 ratio. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I would call if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Hysall, 461-8147 on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
This is Gary Parish from the Gary Parish Show, weekdays from 4 to 6 here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and you know the holiday season is here. And one thing on lots of people's wish list is a computer, so if you know somebody like that and you're looking for the lowest prices and best service, go check my friends at Cooper Systems. You know Cooper Systems, Lee Cooper, Lauren Cooper. They've been with me for years, and you guys, listeners of this station, have helped grow their business because you keep going there when you need a new computer, a refurbished computer, or a custom-built computer because you know they have prices starting as low as $189. Cooper Systems has brands like Apple, HP, Dell, Gateway, Toshiba, Sony, and more. Desktops, notebooks, tablets, and printers. They really do have it all at Cooper Systems. And don't ever forget, if you need service on your computer, then Cooper Systems can help you too. In-shop diagnostic rates start as low as $24.99. So don't be frustrated by a bogged-down computer. Let Cooper Systems help get you cleaned up the way you ought to be. Go see them in the Mount Moriah office park or call them 360-9679 or visit them at coopersystems.com.
Ho, ho, ho. What do you want for Christmas?
I
want
to find a place that I can buy all my friends' presents in one spot.
You don't need Santa for that. Just go to Doc's.
Did you know there's a place in the 901 where you can get wine and whiskey, candies and caramels and glasses and gift sets all under one roof? It's true. And this is Gary Parish promising you that you're going to find all that and more at Doc's Wine Spirits and More at the corner of Poplar and Kirby next to Swanky's in the Carrefour Shopping Center. You're going to find beer, bourbon balls, and Bailey's alongside a huge selection of wine and liquor, all at great prices. And speaking of great prices, how about my favorite bottle, Big Bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka, just $17.98 every day. And don't forget, Doc's Rare Whiskey Release is coming up on December 16th, where more than 100 bottles of allocated bourbon is going to be up for sale. First come, first serve. Find out more at DocsMemphis.com. That's D-O-C-S Memphis.com. Again, it's Docs Wine, Spirits, and More on the web, DocsMemphis.com.
See you later, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. And just where do you think you're going?
We're going to Docs.
Okay, bring me back an eggnog.
Edwin Watzkoff presents a special holiday offer from Titleist. The Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the number one ball in golf used by tour players and amateurs around the world. And right now, they're only $39.99 a dozen, making them the number one gift in golf. And now available, the new TS Metal Woods. Two distinct designs that bring more speed to your game. TS2 lets you swing aggressive with maximum forgiveness across the face, while TS3 offers an adjustable sweet spot for speed-tuned performance. This holiday season, shop Edwin Watzkoff, home for the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
The best place in Tunica for sports betting is now open. The Book It Horseshoe. Analyze your favorite team's performance to make a winning bet. Not sure how to bet? Our knowledgeable, friendly, and helpful staff is ready to assist you. Come in today and see why the Book It Horseshoe is your favorite place to bet and watch all the action. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Dell's dedicated small business advisors give you tech advice and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. And now's the time to save on select business PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors until the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget and find the right tech solution for your business. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sleepy Aziz Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zenner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have sales. They're already better than the competition 52 weeks a year. They got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. And when Reach for the Commercial Pill were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, your winner 4 straight years, it was Sleepy Z's. They don't just sell mattresses, though. Also furniture. In the name, Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zander. They got living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Anything you need to furnish a home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not there in the store, understand that they got a 42-inch kiosk. You can browse through it, fill with furniture, find what you want. They'll get it for you. Mention that you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show. You'll get an additional 10% off. It's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zenner. The phone number, if you want to talk to Mike, 901-692-6200, 901-692-6200. No better Christmas gift you can give somebody than something that will give them a good night's sleep. Get them a mattress. Because if you get it for your spouse, then it benefits you too. Sleepy Z's on the web, sleepyzzz.com, sleepyzzz.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but mostly just that the Nashville Police Department isn't very good at investigating homicides. The Memphis Police Department, they finally got that Lorenzen Wright thing figured out, it seems like. But the Nashville PD, did they get this Stephen Miller thing right? Maybe. But they did a bad job of investigating it. That seems pretty clear, crystal clear at this point.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Grizzlies, Blazers inside of FedEx. Boy, the Blazers played last night down in Houston, took an L. So they come in here 15-12, 5-8 away from Portland. Grizzlies 15-11, 8-4 at home. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Tip off a little after 7. Eric Hasseltine on the call right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
You shouldn't watch TV tonight. You should go listen to the Steve McNair podcast. I spent damn near 2 hours telling you how great it is. I might have ruined it for you because I told you most of the interesting stuff. But either way, hear it from Tim Rowan. You can find it at SI.com.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
I thought Nicole Auerbach's story about possible college football playoff expansion was well-sourced and well-done. You got a subscription to The Athletic. You can go read it at TheAthletic.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
It'll be Thursday. We're going to look back Blazers, Grizzlies. My little buddy John Martin, that's Cookie's ex. He's going to be with me in the first hour. Jeff Calkins in the second. It should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We're going to meet back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
Sabre 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. Your home of the Gary Parrish Show. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m.
Be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis.
Hey, hon.
Hey, babe. You know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
Anyone can deliver a box, but Kroger makes it easy with store pickup and now shipping right to your door. So check out while you're chilling with the app or at Kroger.com.
Men, you're probably hearing a lot of talk about erectile dysfunction pills and how cheap and easy it is to treat ED with just a click or a call. Well, the Memphis Men's Clinic wants you to know that those little blue pills may not be for everyone. Over time, the responsiveness they promise can wear out and the nasty side effects can increase. In fact, many of our patients are guys who've become frustrated with the performance of those pills. At Memphis Men's Clinic, we go way beyond prescribing a simple pill. Our physicians offer a precision approach that delivers an effective dose of medicine designed to minimize side effects and prolong effectiveness, and works in minutes, not hours, like pills.